Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, November 8th, 2013, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kucharowicz, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals Corp., your gold and silver bullion dealer. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 800-649-6722. And if anyone wants to send us a question that we can address on air, you can email that to mail@centralmetalscorp.com. Folks, we have an interesting day today, of course. Job numbers came out better than expected, and of course the reaction in the market was to be expected. We have gold and silver down. Let me give you a quote right now. Silver is at 21.35 on the spot market. Gold is at 12.85.44. The indexes, let me just refresh my screen here. Take a wild guess, folks. The indexes are of course, up. S&P is 17.60.44, up 13.29. The Dow is up to 15,673. It's up 79. Crude oil is actually up about 24 cents, but it's still below the $100 level. It's at 94.44. So we have the Canadian dollar down, of course, and the U.S. dollar is up. So things are looking rosy in the U.S. Their job numbers are up, and the markets are reflecting that things are going to be much better in the future, so we can all stop worrying. What do you think, Jeff? Of course, we have our Calgary expert, Jeff Dunphy, is joining us, and we look to Jeff for guidance in this reaction. What do you think?
Well, in all fairness, Bosco, of course, everything is fine. Didn't you not? Yeah. Did you not get the note? Your paycheck has just been increased by 50%. Your wife has just had a makeover by Victoria's Secrets. Your children are now 50% more intelligent as a result of the change of the testing facilities. And Bosco, everything at Walmart will be free for the next month or two.
Right on.
Yay,
Christmas season is ahead of us. Good times.
Oh, Bosco. I mean, how flippin' ridiculous is this? So I want to address the work numbers first, Bosco. I guess so there's some interesting numbers here. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Bosco and I have a tendency to be a bit tongue-in-cheek over these things. However, here's some interesting food for thought. Okay. So the job numbers were up, Bosco? Is that what you were saying? Yes, indeed, that's what you were saying. But here's what's up. A whopping 932,000 Americans drop out of the labor force. So really, Bosco, it isn't so much that the numbers are improving. It's just the participation in the labor force stats is falling, okay?
Yep.
So this participation rate is the lowest it's been in almost 35 years, okay? So, here, you know, this is the third highest monthly increase in people falling out of the labor force in U.S. history. In U.S. history. Okay, so now let's put a little more in perspective, okay? At this pace, if they keep falling out, at this pace, the people out of the labor force will surpass the working Americans in about 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so really what's happening is no Americans are working, so much of people out of work, people will become more and more independent, and we also fall back to good old MOPE, right, Bosco? MOPE,
yep.
Management of Prospective Economics. Bosco,
yep.
How can we make this number look good? Things are falling, people are getting sick, people are not working. Well, let's change how we fabricate the indices. How about this, Bosco? Are you feeling really good today?
I feel okay.
Bosco, are you feeling really good today?
Feel great.
Okay, the fact, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that Bosco is feeling really good today, we're going to take that and we're going to pound that as an indices. And we're going to call that the indices of BFG. BFG, Bosco. Bosco feeling good. The index for Bosco feeling good is high, ladies and gentlemen. So you can take solace in the fact that everything is going to be just peachy keen.
Yeah, I wish I had that power, but...
There you go. Now, let's get back to some economic facts, and let's pull ourselves back from the maniacy that is the marketplace for a moment.
Let me just cut in here for a second. How, you know, okay, we're all sarcasm aside and so on. I think it's obvious that a lot of traders and professionals out there, I mean, if they don't know the fact that these numbers are managed and that they don't represent reality, I think a lot of them know that, right? But the fact of the matter is that the markets are moving in the direction that would make sense if these numbers were true, right? So there's this is where I think what a lot of people have to understand is that the traders out there that are moving these markets, the funds, the individual traders, the independent, you know, private equity firms, hedge funds, and so on, what they're doing is really they know that the market is going to move in a certain direction based on certain indicators that come out. So they position themselves to profit from that, right? But it doesn't reflect what's really happening on Main Street. It doesn't reflect, which these numbers are supposed to reflect what's really happening. They don't. So they're all they're doing, it's just a profit-generating mechanism. And, you know, there has to be, this is where the illusion of the Wizard of Oz, if you will, the man behind the curtain has to be revealed eventually. You know, what Jeff was telling us about management of perspective economics. They've been managing this for so long that the fundamentals have to come home to roost sooner or later. And this is the point which we're trying to get across is that people, you have to position yourself when the truth really comes out and, you know, the markets are affected in a certain way. You better be positioned on the right side and have your assets, you know, protected against these counterparties that are making these movements in the market. Because ultimately, the whole point of having these economic indicators is to reflect what's really, you know, job numbers, the manufacturing index, supply and demand fundamentals, which really are the heart of a market. You know, if they don't represent reality and if they just represent trading opportunities, eventually that has to fall apart. You can't run economy just on trading like we discussed before, what is it called? Hyper trading mechanisms, the algorithmic trading, high frequency trading. That's what it's called. You know, people making money on these milliseconds of trades is just ridiculous. It doesn't represent any true economic fundamentals. So, anyways, I just wanted to cut in and you know give people a little bit of a insight into what these numbers are supposed to be representing.
versus what in fact they are. But I also think, Bosco, somebody pointed out a couple of weeks ago, somebody who I have a great deal of respect for in terms of their intellectual capital, their intellectual acumen, they pointed out when I said, well, you know, I don't think the government really is being very honest in terms of the spying on people and the using of the IRS, da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And she stopped me for a moment, and she said, so, when have they been?
Right.
Which brings me back to one of the things that we have a tendency to preoccupy ourselves with is we want people to actually wake up and smell the coffee.
Yep.
And part of waking up and smelling the coffee is not saying, so what? The government are a bunch of thugs. It's by saying, if you should so choose. You can take actions to protect yourself against a government that does not have your best interests in hand. So I want to do a couple of, I want to wander around the globe, if I might, Bosco, for a few moments. And I want to chat a little about some global development. I also want to chat about how important it is to recognize that there's certain things that are starting to happen faster and faster, which we would make reference to this as the law of acceleration that I've made reference to historically. But we've got we've got the Europeans and Mario Draghi coming out a little while ago saying they're going to cut their discount rate to 25 bips, which again, Bosco, we've been talking about this for a long time, about how they cannot afford to raise interest rates.
That last week. You said that they weren't going to. Not only did they not raise them, they lowered them.
Exactly. So what that tells Bosco and I, ladies and gentlemen, is that things, one, are not getting better. In fact, they probably are getting worse. And we're starting to see certainly the numbers, the manipulation of the numbers in the states as being addressing that, focusing on that. I mean, the job numbers in Europe are bad. Things are slowing down. And so consequently, the demand for all kinds of things, products, goods, and services, also slows down the velocity of money, which means they have to print more money. Okay, so the forcing down of interest rates, once again, further makes worse all this long-term misallocation of resources, right? So what's happening is, Bosco, here's a great scenario. Let's try to make things better by doing something that is not working, but let's just do more of it. Again, we come back to the – Bosco, I'm going to toss you off the cliff, flap your wings, and you will fly. Mm-hmm. And Bosco's looking up at me going – Jeff, what were you thinking? I'm not flying at all. And I'm just saying, flap harder, buddy, flap harder.
Yeah.
As you plummet into the ground. Yes, in fact, Bosco, that's exactly what they call it. They can call it lunacy. Okay, so macroeconomics, here's a good quote. Macroeconomics is failed witchcraft, which should be apparent to anyone paying attention. What they're doing is they're lying, telling you that printing money is going to save your bacon. It isn't going to save your bacon. It's going to turn you as a roly-poly pig into bacon, Bosco.
It
will continue to be used because it's the only tool they have. It's the only tool they have right now because doing something real has such political ramifications that they would have civil wars going on everywhere where the people would say to everybody, duh, I don't think this government has our best interests at hand. Duh, I think they're trying to screw us. Duh, what have we been saying, Bosco, for it seems like forever? This has to be our gazillionth show together, and we've been saying self-reliance, buy gold and silver, pay attention to what the powers that be are doing and saying to you. They're lying through their teeth. Wake up, smell that coffee. Okay, now, the governments around the world are, again, just trying to tell everybody that it's fine by printing more money, okay? And this liquidity and stimulus is not going to end in the U.S. or Europe until the markets end it. And right now, it is Bosco and my opinion that the reason the markets are still playing, the S&P is really high, the Dow Jones is really high, although the S&P had a huge dip the other day, as you know. Market ending will either be an implosion. This is the systemic risk that you and I have chatted about for months now, or it will be a crack up. It'll go either up or down. Either is possible. It'll either go through the roof, which is what we chatted about in Rwanda, right? Can you imagine the Dow Jones, Bosco, going from 15,000 to 25? Everybody would think they woke up in an economic wet dream. Can you say wet dream on Blog Talk Radio, Bosco? I apologize.
Be careful.
Okay.
I don't know what their rules are, but
now, but then if it goes from 15 to 25, could it go from 25 to 25 million? Well, it has done in other markets before, so that's the go blow up. And the other is the venue that has all these economies doing what they think is best for their economy has them blowing their brains out in their own economy, but it also has anybody who owns any of their debt going, what are you doing? You are making what you owe me valueless because you're deflating it. You're inflating your currency. You're devaluing your debt. Okay, so currencies are being destroyed in terms of their purchasing power. Okay?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The other thing that is incredibly important here that we should mind and pay attention to is nothing is being done to correct any of the economic problems. What they're doing is they're lying to us. They're just saying flap harder. They're not actually taking any action to pay attention to the proper economies. And this is what Bosco made reference to not 3 or 4 minutes ago, Bosco, when you said real items, real goods, real products, real exchanges, as opposed to this nonsense maniacy that happens in the big banks and in the governments, right? So the shelf life of any government in that regard, as soon as the people wake up and say, nonsense, this is bullshit. Oh, that might be another one that we might not be able to say, Bosco. But so the frustrations of watching this thing play out are enormous, and it drives us a bit nuts every now and again. And as my mother used to say to me, you can either cry about it or laugh about it. And what we do is we laugh about it while we secure ourselves and create fiscal independence by getting out of the system, in a sense, but also by acquiring more and more gold and silver.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, I don't want people to get the you know, the wrong idea. Even, you know, some people might listen to this program and say, oh, these guys, all they do is talk about gold going up, gold is, and look, gold, and, you know, somebody's reaction today might be, for example, how could they be promoting gold when gold is down? Folks, you have to understand, the idea of investing in gold, the primary idea is, one, eliminating counterparties between you and your assets. Once you own the gold, it's yours. Two, it's insurance. Gold is essentially a currency. It's an insurance currency, okay? Gold does not produce interest. It does not produce dividends. But it's the best store of value, that, and it's been proven throughout history, okay? There's no other currency or stock market or any financial instrument that has the legacy characteristics of gold as a wealth protection mechanism. Okay, there's a reason why throughout all history, all the wars that are fought, whenever invaders go into a country to take over, one of the things they go after is the gold of that country. Okay, so yes, gold is down, and yes, we've been promoting gold as it's been going down, but you have to understand it's insurance. What you're doing is you're really buying insurance, because the fundamentals of the economy are telling us that things don't look good, and it's going to get worse in the near future, okay? So you want to have your assets in a product that historically has protected people from a government and a financial system that has gone haywire, okay? So you want to have gold, you want to have cash, you want to have tangible assets. Gold is the thing that myself and Jeff are very familiar with, and I think it's one of the best tangible assets to put your money in. I mean, truth be told, I read a report actually last year that fine wine has outperformed gold in the past 10 years. Okay, unfortunately, I don't know much about fine wine, so I don't invest in it. But people that do know, you know, maybe that is a good investment, or art, or sculptures, or even, you know, real estate to a degree, farmland. There's other tangible assets you can invest in. Of course, this program is mostly about gold and silver, but even though it is going down, it's still, you have to look at what the theme is now is it's not return on your investments, it's return of your investments. Okay. Right now the conditions around the world are so risky and so untransparent that, you know, getting a return on your money isn't what people should be worried about. People should be worried about, and you ask anybody in Cyprus or in Greece, people should be worried about getting their money back, period. You know, you put your money in the bank in Greece and Cyprus, forget it, it's gone. You know, so, but if you had your money in gold, sure, it's safe and sound in your vault, in your basement, or wherever you're hiding it, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So this is what gold is for, folks. And you have to remember the price of gold, what Jeff has told us many, many times. You know, what is the saying? How do you explain it, Jeff? The price of gold and the gold price.
Right, right. You know, I mean, what we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of the world, I think there's a whole bunch of people tending to wake up. And so consequently, when they see the price of gold go down, you go to various parts of the world, you cannot buy gold coins anymore for the market price. So the price of gold, the real price of gold, is not the gold price that you see on the screen, because the gold price you see on the screen is artificially manipulated. And it's manipulated in a fashion that the traders facilitate their own agenda. So this is where they become bolder and bolder, as you know, Bosco. Mm-hmm. They start to throw caution to the wind because they know mm-hmm. that the ship is sinking.
Yeah. So premiums actually buy real gold in like Asia. I believe it's like 10% right now.
Yeah, well, I've heard anywhere from 7 to 12, Bosco, which, you know, you just go, are you kidding me? And however, guess what? So, it's very true, right? You don't have to go far, very far. And that's part of the other game of having the propagandizers. Is that a word, Bosco?
I don't know. It sounds good to me, though.
It's the propagandizers and the banksters telling you, all is fine, all is good, give me your money, and I'll do what I should, as opposed to all is fine, all is good, put your money into gold and live as you should. They start to slap you into compliance with their agenda. I don't know,
exactly.
Bosco. I don't like to take orders from banks right now.
Well, that's the thing that they're doing, Jeff. They're trying to convince everyone that the banks are fine. And you're going to hear, folks, and mark my words, you're going to hear over the next year or so that the banks and the central bankers are going to be promoting, okay, we realize that privatizing gains and socializing losses is not good, and we're going to change our strategy, right? What does privatizing gains and socializing losses mean is the bailout process, which we discussed here before. Bailout means that the government is going to bail out the banks and the companies that are failing, and the burden is going to be on the taxpayers, right? That's what they've been doing. Now, this year, what are they implementing? They're going to switch to the bail-in process. What does the bail-in process mean? Well, we're going to have to recapitalize, and this isn't, it's not that I'm making this up. The Basel III, the BIS has put out their Basel III Accord, which all central banks and banks around the world have to abide by, okay, to meet their capital requirements. Now, in order to meet the capital requirements, what are the banks going to do? They have to recapitalize. What does that mean? That means that your deposits, the bail-in, your deposits are going to be repossessed by the banks, and you're not going to have access to them anymore. So the banks are going to tell you that yes, we realize.
That's interest, right, Bosco? That's because they're taking care of you, Bosco.
Right. And so they're not going to, you know, tell you that you're not, we're going to, what the spin is going to be, the mope, I guess, if you will, is going to be that we're going to take the burden away from the taxpayer, so you don't have to worry. We're not going to put the burden on you anymore. We're just going to steal your money right from the bank.
and that's
what they're saying.
And you got,
and
here's, I mean, in continuation
of
Bosco's. Yeah. So in continuation with or furthering on what Bosco's doing, right? It's all the retirement account, right? So it's already happening everywhere. Cyprus got the bail-in rolling earlier this year, right? So in the wake of its banking crisis, some depositors lost more than 60% of their bank deposit. In the EU's force, so the EU now, one banker, Mario Draghi and his gang, they're telling everybody else what to do. So in conjunction, capital controls were set up to stem the stampede of outflowing funds. So remember when we chatted about Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia when I was there some years ago, that they put in capital controls. So nobody could send money out of the country, okay? That was so the Cypriot Central Bank governor thinks it could still be a year from now before capital controls can be lifted, which means it'll never happen, okay? Now, get a load of this. We said, Bosco and I broke this to you, you know, a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago, that Poland is getting in on the expropriation game as well. So the Poland's federal government, get a load of this in terms of witchcraft, Bosco, Polo. The Poland's federal government has recently transferred, there's a good name, Bosco, transferred bonds held by privately managed pension funds, okay, and the idea is to turn these into the pension liabilities of the state-run social security system. So here's how it works. These private pensions originated in 99 when a hybrid pension system sent half of the workers' social security tax into a private plan. Since then, the plans have become about $86 billion. $37 billion of which is held in government bonds. Okay, so in one move, the Polish government looked at each other a bit cross-eyed, and they declared the nation's debt as being reduced by $37 billion. Get a load of that. They euphemistically called this a pension overhaul. Since pension theft, everybody in the world might look at pension theft would have been way less popular. Hi, we're going to steal... Oh, don't say that word, Bosco. Hi, we are going to overhaul the pension system, right? So even the balance of these pensions, Bosco, in our opinion, are eventually going to be stolen, okay? There's just no way. Now, when it starts to happen elsewhere, these are flags that the bankers put up, ladies and gentlemen. Like, hey, guys, let's go see if we can steal Cypriot or the Cyprus. Hey, guys, let's go do it in Poland. Okay, guys, where else can we do it? They've got it set up so they can do it in the state, in Canada and in New Zealand and in Australia. So what they're doing is they're setting the stage so they can go in and steal everybody's money because they've blown their brains out and the economy is going into the tank. Moscow. This is the time when we go pass over the thumbs. It gives me indigestion.
Yeah, folks, this is really happening. I mean, I'm just pulling up an article here. I think it was on Bloomberg. Anyways, it was issued on November 5th, but it says last week the Slovenian parliament has also approved bail-in rules. The leader of the Eurogroup working group revealed that the Eurozone should introduce bank bail-in rules from 2016, as reported by the German newspaper Der Spiegel. UK-based Cooperative Bank announced a bondholder bail-in rescue plan, okay, and even the IMF is proposing a super tax of 10% on savings accounts. So your financial profits are going to be taxed as well. This is like, I mean, I don't understand how they can just, they're just so bold and they're coming out and saying that, we screwed up the entire financial system and everyone who was saving their money and left their money in the bank and that were disciplined and sound savers. You're gonna pay the bill, and we're just gonna take all your money to keep our corrupt system going. Your retirement. You're gonna have to get another part-time job and keep funding our corrupt system. That's pretty much what they're saying. They're just gonna go in and take all your money. Unbelievable.
Ouch. What's the phrase, Bosco? Bend over and don't ask a question.
I mean, for anybody who wants to get their money out, I mean, okay, gold and silver is one way. Take your money in cash and put it in a safe. Buy land. I don't know what else you can do with it. But, I mean, this isn't stuff that Jeff and I are just making up. You know, people, This is happening right now as we speak. And don't think that we're immune in Canada, okay, folks? We've discussed on this program many times, and it's been publicized in the Canadian budget that came out at the beginning of the year that the bail-in process will be implemented should systemically important banks start to fail. Well, there's a reason why they put that in, and of course every politician is going to tell you, oh, don't worry, our banks are safe, our system is sound, and maybe it's better than the rest of them, which I'm not too sure about, but the point of the matter is that, you know, legally, when you deposit your money in the bank, you become what they call an unsecured creditor. So you're basically lending your money to the bank, and they can financial reserve it or what is it called? Fractional reserve it, which they multiply it by numerous amounts, and they lend it out at interest and so on. So, you know, what you want to do, folks, is eliminate counterparties between you and your money and your assets. Gold and silver is my favorite way. Land might be another way. Fine wine, if you know anything about that. I don't know, Jeff, do you have any other ideas?
Well, I have a couple of things to talk a little about fine wine. And that many years ago, Bosco, the better part of 25 years ago, I had a very good friend who owned a wine store. And so consequently, we, at that point in time, 25 years ago, buying wine was a really good investment. However, one of the things that has come to light recently, as you know, Bosco, I've run into some personal tragedy of late, and one of the things that I did with one of the bottles of wine in my wine cellar that might be reputed to be worth several thousand dollars is I opened it up and cracked it to drink and toast, you know, a past chapter, and I had great reverence for the wine and the like, and great reverence for my recently departed wife. So in terms of that venue, I cracked this bottle of wine, and yeah, it had gone bad. It was supposed to be worth several thousand dollars, and it had gone bad. Oh, and I stored it in a cool, dry, dark place and haven't moved it for 25 years. So sometimes wine can be cannot necessarily work out that well. Now, in the very same breath, when you have a pile of wine and it's appreciating in value, you can also drink it to drown the sorrows of the maniacy that's going on. Right? Which, you know, as my mother said when I was a little boy, we had a wine cellar in the house. She said, well, you know, if the shit hits the fan, she was talking about it then because she was a child of the Depression. If the shit hits the fan, at least we can have fun drinking our wine cellar, right? Which was quite a funny thing. Now, I want to get back to Bosco's previous scenario about becoming your own central bank, and I also want to point out some stuff that the governments do not tell you, okay? Governments are not necessarily run by stupid people. They're run by greedy, selfish wankers, but they are not run by stupid people. The governments with these insights and with the foresight and the means to do it are buying gold right now. They're telling you not to. They're creating a marketplace where it seems like a silly thing to do, but the banks and the governments that work for and with and around and buy them are buying gold. Official gold purchases have been on a tear. Okay, the World Gold Council, they're talking about the major central banks are remaining net buyers in this year, as they have been for the past 3 years, okay? So what they're doing is speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Bernanke says, I don't understand gold, blah, 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 blah. It's not money, but a precious metal. What a dipstick. Dipstick's okay, right, Bosco? Anyway, Bernanke is no fool, and neither is Mario Draghi. Mario Draghi, when he worked for the Bank of Italy, he was the governor of the Bank of Italy, he was actually quoted as saying he thought it would never be wise to sell their gold reserves.
Right.
Okay, so their gold reserves provide protection against dollar fluctuations, currency risk, or U.S. dollar risk. And this also steps into one of the other topics of conversation I want to chat about, and that's petrodollars and the price of oil and the various things, because I want to talk a little about global economic factors that have to do with the oil reserve. But what I think it's really important to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the governments don't want you to buy gold because they're busy buying it. You think they'd be busy buying it if they didn't think it was a good idea? So owning and investing in hard assets like gold, wise idea. Having cash, just in case the bank comes and steals yours, that's probably not a bad idea. And, you know, being mindful that, self-reliance. What this becomes a broken record, doesn't it? Self-reliance. But
yeah, it is.
Self-reliance. Bosco, self-reliance. Now.
But that's okay. This is our show, so we can do whatever we want.
Exactly.
We have no advertisers telling us what to do, so go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, so now let's chat about global economic factors in the petroleum business. Now let's fall back a few years. I mean, it hasn't been very long, but a few years ago, the developed nations were using, say, 100 units of gold or 100 units of oil every day, and consequently, the producers of gold would say, we will sell our oil to the developed nations. And over a period of time, the powers that be sort of designated that the use of gold by the use of oil by the developed nations was falling relative to the use of oil by the developing nations,
mm-hmm.
by the up and comers. We call these the BRICS, okay? The Brazil, the Russia, the India, and the China, right? And mm-hmm. so part of this whole thing is that who and where are we going to sell our gold, sell our oil? And so all the producers got together and they said, I'm sure they got together. They all got together and said, well, we better hedge our bets and make sure that we start to develop relationships and rapport and facilities in these other parts of the world, right? And developing these places and parts in the other part of the world is very important relative to their long-term predisposition. Now, having spent a bit of time in China of late, in the last several years, one of the things that I noticed that they do and think and play, and this was another thing that was brought up in Jim Rogers' book that Jim Rogers, Bosco and I had on the show some time ago, but one of the things he brought up, he talked about how the Chinese are smart, but they also are long smart. Their long view perspective is very smart, and they don't necessarily invest for the quick flip, which is how the Americans have been brainwashed into investing. They invest for the long term, and their long term, Bosco, is thinking about their grandchildren's predisposition about how best to take care of their well-being. So one of the things that the Chinese did with a company that is close to my heart, a little company called Talisman, was invested in some nasty, cranky place in the undeveloped world, okay? And this would be we won't even mention the country, but they were getting huge amounts of pushback by the fund managers in Canada for being invested in nasty places. So as a result of being invested in nasty places, the fund manager said, you have to get out. Get out of these nasty places. Whether it was a nasty place like Syria, whether it was a nasty place like just nasty places. So consequently, Talisman divested. It was Sudan, for those who care. But they divested in Sudan. And who picked up that investment, Bosco? The Chinese.
Yep.
Because the Chinese are far less preoccupied with their fund managers say, we don't like how you're tending to our investments. And what does the Chinese government say? We don't care. Shut your gob. Don't bother us. We'll deploy our money wherever we want. And wherever we want is to give us supply so that we can provide oil for the world. So here's what's happening. China, predominantly in a big way, China is investing money globally for global infrastructure for the petroleum business. And as a result of this investment, it's becoming less and less and less inclined to invest and spend money in a way that appeases the U.S. and their petroleum. And also, in the course of all of this, the U.S. Marketplace has become less dependent on international sources of oil because they've found and starting to do this thing called fracking, petroleum fracking. And as a result of all that, the Chinese are becoming more and more a global energy petroleum factor, and consequently what may happen, we don't know, it certainly is potentially real, is that the BRICS, predominantly China, though, but the BRICS have the capacity to break free from the petrodollar, because this is how the U.S. have kept their currency strong, is that they've been trading petroleum, which is vitally important to the globe, in U.S. dollar terms. What happens if the Chinese say, to hell with that, we're going to start doing it in yuan or renminbi? There is something very real there, and it is the loss of the U.S. dollar as the currency, the world global reserve currency. If they start to lose that, Bosco, the U.S. dollar plummets in import, in validity, and also in value. Okay? So now all of a sudden there's a growing concern and certainly a growing observation globally that, you know, when the recent Western embargo about Iran, Iran was starting to talk about trading gold in terms of maybe euros or trading gold in other forms of currency other than the U.S. And so the Western embargo that came up, the Americans wanted to force it to use U.S. dollars. So now back to the headlines. Petroleum is being used more and more by developing nations, and developing nations is where the growth in petroleum sales is going. The developed nations are falling dramatically in terms of their economic capacity to do anything. Everybody's economy is crashing around their knickers, right? Mm-hmm. And as a result, we have a great propensity for the developing nations of the country to be the main players where the oil producers want to focus their attention, energy, and infrastructure. Threatens the U.S. dollar, increases the possibility of the value of gold going up, increases and dramatically accelerates global economic calamity, and it also increases the possibility of some nasty-ass war, which we don't talk about much, Bosco, but when war happens, price of gold goes up. When war happens, as you just pointed out, the companies and the countries that go into steal and pillage go in and steal and pillage gold. Things we need to pay attention to. Okay, there ends my rant for the moment, Bosco.
And that's a good place to end, Jeff. In conclusion, folks, if you have any questions, give us a call at 800-649-6722. If you want to send us an email, our email is mail@centralmetalscorp.com. And, of course, our website is centralmetalscorp.com, your gold and silver bullion dealer. Jeff Dunphy, thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Bosco. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Goodbye.